Okay, today's daf is Yuma Daf Chavav. Today's shir is sponsored by Gordon Weingarten, Li'ilui Nishmas, his mother, Basya Bas Michal, on her 39th yahrzeit. We thank Mr. Weingarten very much for the sponsorship, and the neshama should have an aliyah. Today we are going to do again Daf Chavav. We left off on the bottom Daf Chav here in Beis, right in the middle of the conversation. So after we finish up our discussion from yesterday, in terms of the Seder Hadvarim, the Seder of which limbs came first to the Mizbeach, we're then going to go into the Mishnah on the top of Chavav Amralf, which is going to discuss the third and the fourth pious. The third pious for the Ketores, we're going to discuss some special skula that the Ketores had. The Gemara is going to talk about the pious for the Tamashal, whether there is a separate pious for the Tamashal Ben Arbayim, or there's not a separate pious for the Tamashal Ben Arbayim, and the same for the Ketores in the afternoon. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to move on to discuss the fourth pious, that according to the Mishnah, the fourth pious is to bring the limbs up from the ramp to the Mizbeach, but we're going to see that not everybody agrees with the Mishnah, that there is in fact a fourth pious for that purpose. On the Mishnah on Amud Beis on the top, the Gemara is going to talk about how the Talmud is brought, the number of people needed for the Karmat Talmud could vary between 9 and 12, depending on what day of the year it is, and depending what day of the week it is, and then the Gemara is going to have two rayas, that the Nisach HaMayim was only done in the morning on Sukkot, the Nisach HaMayim was not done in the afternoon, and the Gemara is going to talk about it in the evening. Two Kohanim were to bring Shnei Gezirei Eitzim, so there were an additional two Kohanim, Dafka in the evening, to bring Shnei Gezirei Eitzim, not in the morning, and the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis is going to tell us how many Kohanim were needed to bring up the parts of the Ayil and the Par. The Ayil needed 11, the Par needed 24. It's going to enumerate how we know those numbers, how we divide up those numbers of Kohan and what each Kohen's job was. But we left off Mamish in the middle of a discussion. We went through four different shitos in terms of the order of the limbs being brought to the Mizbeach. What order were they brought to the Mizbeach in? So we left off, the Gemara asks, we had said that they argue about whether you want to go in the order that the animal walked, in the order that we skinned the animal, in the order that we cut up the animal, in the order from the best to the worst. So Amar Rava, about 10 lines before the end of the page, Amar Rava, Bein Tana Dan, Bein Rabbi Yossi, Basri Eluya, Debisra Azlinan. Both our Tana and Rabbi Yossi hold that we go with the best first. So Marazal Basar Ivra Debisra, Umarazal Basar Shimna Debisra. They just disagree in terms of how we define best. Is the best defined by, like our Tana says, the size of the Evarim, or like Rabbi Yossi says, the fatness of the Evarim, the fattiness of the meat. So in my time of Salka Regel Bahadei Resha, but everyone seemed to agree that the Regel goes together with the head. Why is that so? Mishum Dereshon Nefisha Be'atzamos Kavar Regel Bahadei, because the head has all these bones in it. The meat in the head is not very good. It's very full of bones. There are tons of bones in the head. So we take a nice good part of the animal like the Regel and put that together with the head. Dukuliyam Mamias Rosh Kavar Bereshon Minolin. But everyone says the Rosh comes first. No matter which order you go with, no matter which of the four shitos you follow, everyone holds that the head comes first. So why? Where do we find that the head comes first? Well, what's the drasha? Detanya minayin the roshu padr shakod min l'kol evarim tamalomar es roshu ve es pidro va arach. So we darshan from the pasuk es roshu ve es pidro va arach. So we see that the rosh comes first. Vi idach peder l'may asa. The other pasuk that says es hanesachim es harosh ve es hapader. What do we do with that? What drasha do we make from that mention of padr? That they would cover up the base hashchita, the area where the animal's neck was cut, because that's a derech kavod shel maila. That's a way of showing kavod. So because the base hashchita was otherwise very messy and full of dam. So that's what we learn from the other mention of pader. Period. So now we move on to the Pius Ashlishi and Revi'i, the next Mishnah. So it says the Mishnah, Pius Ashlishi Chadashim L'Ketores Bo V'Yafisu. The third Pius is for people who have never done the Ketores, new people. Chadashim come to do the Pius to determine who's going to bring the Ketores. V'Hervi'i Chadashim Im Yishanim Imalei Varim Min HaKevesh L'Mizbeach. When it comes to the fourth Pius, so that new people, old people, you don't have to be a new person to be involved in the fourth Pius. You could have done it in the past and still be involved in the fourth pious, and they determine that fourth pious determines who's going to bring the limbs now that they're on the ramp of the Mizbeach, who's going to bring them from the ramp of the Mizbeach all the way up to the top of the Mizbeach. So first we focus on the third pious, Tana. May olam l'shana adam ba. It never happened that a person would repeat bringing the Ketores. It was a one-shot deal. You did it once in your life and never again. My time, why? Why can't you do it multiple times? Am Rabbi Chanina mepnei shema asheres. Because the Ketores makes a person wealthy, so you don't get to do it more than once. We want to spread the wealth as much as possible. Am le'erav papala abaye, my time. What's the reason that it's ma'asheres? Where do we find that it's ma'asheres? Ile mimishum d'chsiv yasimu Ketores papecha uksiv basei ve'erich Hashem chelo. It says yasimu Ketores. Torahs Bapecha, and then it says that Hashem is going to bless the person's wealth. So Ihachi Olanami Aksiv V'Kalil Al Mizbechecha. By the Karban Olah, it also says V'Kalil Al Mizbechecha. So it's the same pasuk. Meaning the pasuk says Yarom Mishpatach Liyakov V'Torasech LiYisrael Yosimu Torahs Bapecha V'Kalil Al Mizbechecha. And then the next pasuk says Berach Hashem Chelo. So how do you know the Berach Hashem Chelo is going on the Torahs Bapecha? Maybe it's going on the Kalil Al Mizbechecha, which relates to a carbonola on the very last phrase of the previous pasuk, not the second to last phrase of the previous pasuk. So how do you know it's going about the Ketores and not about the carbonola? Amrlei hashchicha v'haloshchicha. So the answer is because carbonola is too common, and as Rashi says, dimloke nimtzu akol ashirim. If everyone who brought a carbonola would become wealthy, then the entire world would become wealthy. Then there would be no one left who's not wealthy. So it's got to be something that's a little more rare. Why is an ola more common? Because you could bring an ola snadava. Anyone could volunteer to bring a carbonola at any time. The ketores cannot be brought in a dava, is a chiv twice a day in the Beis Hamikdash, and that's it. So there's a limited amount of people that are able to participate in the Ketores. Tosfos Yeshanim seems to have a different understanding of the Shakla V'Tari over here. In Tosfos Yeshanim, Olanami Aksiv Ba'Kalil, Pirish Imkein Yafisu Ala B'Chadashim. Meaning what we're saying is that if the Ola also says Kalil, we should also only have new people be involved in the pious of the Karban Ola. U'meshani Hashchicha D'Yuchlu Kol Echad V'Echad Esnadev Olu L'Havi Avol Ketores Einichol Esnadev Ola Osu Shel Tzibur. And the Gemara's answer why we don't have only new people involved in a pious of a Karban Ola, why we don't do a pious for the Karban Ola, is because anybody could bring an Ola at any time, so it's not necessary to do a pious. So it's not about the Ashirus. The Shakla V'Tariya is not about the wealth. The Shakla V'Tariya is why don't we do a pious with Chadashim for a Karban Ola as well. So we say we don't do that because it's unnecessary. Anyone can bring Karban Ola whenever they want. There's an interesting discussion, the Chassam Sofer and the Tshuva and Archaim Sim Kufnum Ches says it seems a little bit strange that we don't allow people who've done it in the past to be involved in the pious because it's ma'asheres. Some Sofer says, so everyone so desperately wants to be misasher, but when it comes to be mekayim mitzvah Hashem, to be makriv, not everyone is so interested that we have to, that we're going to include everybody, we're going to bring Yeshanim also. Why don't we say we shouldn't give everyone the opportunity? Everyone wants the opportunity, we should spread the wealth and be doing the mitzvah Hashem and being able to do the avoda. Isn't that more valuable than any amount of money? And furthermore, he says, do we not believe that God could work it out, that the right guy is going to be, I mean, it's a pious. The pious is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's calling the shots. Who wins the lottery and who loses? So if it's really inappropriate for someone to get it multiple times, well, let God take care of that. Hashem will make sure that guy doesn't win. That's what Chassam Sofer asks. So the Chassam Sofer says, the Goral has is Hanhagas HaMazel. So by all Karbonos, we could say that it's Megale, who Hashem wants to be Ovid Lefanav. But the Birchas Moshe Rabbeinu by the Ketores is minatzeches me'al ha-mazel. The special bracha associated with the Ketores is beyond mazel. So because it's above mazel, so people are mishtadel that someone who mitzad mazalo is going to have a difficult life. So ba'ali de birchas Moshe, he can overpower that mazel. So he's going to change his mazel and be misasher. That was the special power that was beyond mazel of the Ketores. Okay, the kashas I think are stronger than the answer. It seems. This Gemara is also the source for a very well-known Minag Yisrael. There is a Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis, Parsha Mem Zayin, O Zayin, where the Medrash says that when Avraham Avinu gave a bris milah to all of the members of his household, he piled up the arlas, all the foreskins, and he made like a small mountain out of it, and the sun beat down on that mountain, and it caused a putrid aroma, but that putrid aroma was as pleasant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as b'ketores. So you see the Medrash equates somehow mila with ketores. Based on that, there are a number of halachic implications. The Darkei Moshe in Yerideas in Reish Samachay on the bottom of the Torah says that the Sandik is a greater chiyuv la'aliyah than anybody else, and even the Mole, because the Sandik is considered to have brought the Ketores. The Sandik is the one that we consider to be makdir the Ketores. That's what the Ramah writes in Yerodei Reish Samachay in the name of the Maril, that the minig is that you don't have the same guy serve as Sandik twice on two different children, because it's our Gemara. The Gemara says that you don't have the same person. It's Chadashim the Ketores. It's only new people that come for the Ketores. The Gra in Reish Samachay Sivkat Mem Vav questions this Maril because Shalori Inu Sandik Mesasher. He says, I haven't seen it yet. I've seen a lot of people be Sandik. I've never, anecdotal evidence suggests that those who serve as Sandik do not experience any newfound wealth. So there are a lot of answers suggested to the comment of the Gra, the Chassam Sofer, in that same tshuva. Or Chaim Simin Kufnun Ches writes that it's possible that the sins of a Sandik prevent him from getting his fair share of wealth that he should get from being the Sandik. The Makar Chesed quotes from the Ma'ore Naim that the guarantee that Chazal have of Aser Bishvil Shedesasher, that if you give tzedakah, then you'll become wealthy, that's fulfilled by a person being blessed with being Mistapik Bechelko, being Sameach Bechelko, and that's the true definition of wealth. So maybe over here also, that's what it means, he's going to be wealthy. Rav Shturmach and Shuvas Van Hagos Chelik Alev Sim Tavkov Pei Dalvin says that the wealth is not only with money, but with HaKadosh Baruch Hu nullifying any Gzeros Ra'os against the person up in Shemayim or against his family. So who knows what kinds of gzeros there were against the person, and being a sandik helped. So that's not it's not necessarily a raya that it doesn't work just because lo re'inu that a sandik becomes wealthy. The Ramah also quotes from the Maril another ramification of this halacha is to go, that a sandik should go to the mikvah before serving as a sandik. And again, that might be based on the connection to ketores. The kohen who brings the ketores obviously goes to the mikvah before doing the avoda. But in Darkei Moshe, Ramah writes that it's chumra bi'almahu ve'in noagin kein. That's a chumra bi'alma. That far we don't go. We do observe the minhag of not giving the sandikos more than one time to the same person, but it's a chumra bi'alma to go to the mikvah. The Magen Avraham, another halachic ramification, the Magen Avraham in Orachayim Kuf Lamed Aleph, Sivkat Yud Aleph, says that in many places they have the minhag to eat the su'uda on the night following the Mila. And it seems to be a total mistake, because the source of holding a Su'udah in honor of the Bris is Drasha, Vayas Avra Mishta Gadol Biyom Higamel Es Yitzchak. So the Medrash says, Biyom Higamel, Biyom Hey plus Gimel Mal. Biyom Higamel is on the eighth day, he gave a Bris Mila. So apparently the practice to celebrate a Bris with a Su'udah should be limited to that day, Biyom, on the day of the Bris, not the following night. But if you understand the relationship between Bris and Ketores, maybe that explains the practice. The Jewish calendar day, we typically think of it as it begins with the night, because outside the Mikdash, that's true. But the Mikdash, Halayla Holecha Charayom, anything that has to do with Avodas HaMikdash, the night follows the day. So if anything that relates to the Ketores, the night would follow the day. So maybe that would be the same over here, that since the Sandikos is related to Ketores, maybe vis-a-vis Sandikos, we'd say Halayla Holecha Charayom. Some poskim suggest the same thing with Simchas Yom Tov. The person is supposed to eat meat each day of Yom Tov. How do we determine the days? The Yom Achar Layla or the Layla Achar Yom? Well, if we eat meat because ain't simcha lebebasar karbanos, so then maybe it should be halayla holech acharayom when determining each day of Yom Tov. It could also be that's why we do a bris in a shul. It's a very well known minhag that everyone does a bris in a shul. So because the shul is a mikdash ma'at and that's the place to bring ketores. There are lots of there's a discussion in the poskim, can a katan be a sandik? So on the one hand, if it's similar to choosing which coin to give truma to, which is another Yehuda suggests that giving sandikos is like deciding which coin to give truma to, so then a child is fine. You're allowed to give truma to a child also. But if it's related to burning the ketores, like we're saying now, so then the child is not suitable for the ketores, and therefore he's not suitable to be the sandik either. The Ramah writes in Yerodei Simshin Sadi Gimel that an avel during Shiva is allowed to be a sandik. So the Stechemin explains that he's not allowed to attend a special su'udah celebrating the bris, but is allowed to participate participate in the mitzvah itself, even though it's a mitzvah that's done with great simcha, because the joy isn't a physical joy, it doesn't lead to kalas rosh, etc. So the Yad Shaul says that a mourner shouldn't be a tzaddik, because a kohen who's a mourner is not allowed to offer a kataras. So if you're related to kataras, that may also depend on this issue. The Sefer Zecher David says a tzaddik shouldn't do work the day of the bris, because it's a yom tov for him. And there's a raya from the Yerushalmi that says that a person shouldn't do work on the day that he brings karbanos. Again, a relationship with the kataras. Okay, so lots of connections to the kataras. Not everyone agrees that that's why we don't give tzaddikos more than once. That's what the Ramah quotes from the Maril. Now, the Buda thinks it relates to giving truma to a kohen, that you're not supposed to give all your truma to a single kohen. That it has nothing to do with kataras. There may be nafkaminas what the reason is, but okay, not for now. And the nafkaminas in terms of who you should choose, whether if you have a Rosh Yeshiva or a Gadol Ha'ir or something like that, whether he could do it more than once. In many communities, that is the minhag, that they give it to the same Rosh Yeshiva. If the same guy could do it more than once for different families, or it's only a limit within a family, lots and lots of nafkaminas. Okay, that's the concept of the tzaddikos. Says the Gemara further now, if you find a young Talmud Chacham, Tzumir Rabbanim means a Talmud Chacham under the age of 40, so generally speaking, Tzumir Rabbanim is not supposed to issue Piskei Halacha, but if he comes from Shevet Levi or Shevet Yisachar, then he's uniquely qualified to issue Piskei Halacha. Levi Dechsiv, Yorim Mishpatah, I'm not sure what this was that Tzumir Rabbanim means under 40, but Rav Shechter, the day they did the 3,000 shir thing here, Rav Shechter said that in his shir, that Tzumir Rabbanim is someone under 40. I remember that because he said, I'm not sure how old Rabbi Leibowitz is, but I'm under 40. So it says, Yoram Mishpatech Eli Yaakov. So that's how we know Levi. Yisachar Dechsev, Yisachar Yodei Bina Leitam Ladas Mayasi Yisrael. That Yisachar knows Ladas Mayasi Yisrael. So also, Piskei Alecha. Ve'ema Yehuda Nami, maybe Yehuda also is someone who can issue Piskei Alecha. Dechsev, Yehuda Mechokakai. So you see, the Pasuk refers to Yehuda as a Mechokak. Sounds like someone who excels in Torah learning. That's a pasuk in Tehillim. Tosfos asks, wait, if you want to refer to Yehuda as a mechokek, why do you mimerchak tavilachma? Why do you have to bring from a pasuk in Tehillim? It says in the Torah, lo yasr shevet mi Yehuda umechokek mi bein raglav. Isn't that a better pasuk? So he says, yeah, but that's a bracha. That doesn't say that it actually came to fruition. So the pasuk in Tehillim actually describes that that's what Yehuda was all about. So answers Gemara, sukish meitzah libedil chsakamina. So there's one thing to excel in learning, another thing to be a sukish meitzah libedil chsak. We're talking about people who are able to learn through a sugya and come to halachic conclusions by learning through the sugya, which is the ikar of Talmud Torah. Am Rabbi Yochanan, ein mefaisin al Talmud shel bein arba'im el koin shezach bo b'shachar zach bo b'arvis. So a new comment. Says Rabbi Yochanan, we don't do a separate pious for the Talmud shel bein arba'im. Rather, whichever koin got to do it in the morning gets to do it in the evening. So if you carried up the Rosh V'regel in the morning, you carry up the Rosh V'regel in the evening. Whatever you did in the morning, that same kohen does in the evening. So ask the Gemara. The Gemara challenges this three times. First of all, Meisvei, Kshem Shem Mephaisen Shachris, Kach Mephaisen Ben Arbaim. We have a brisa that says Beferish, that the same way they would do a pious in the morning, they would do a pious Ben Arbaim. And so Gemara Kitani Bekhtaras. That's for the Khtaras. But for the Tamishal Ben Arbaim, they would not do a separate pious. So Gemara challenges Vaiter, Vatanya, Kshem Shem Mephaisen Lo Shachris, Kach Mephaisen Lo Arvis. If it was about the Khtaras, it would be La, not Lo. Lo is masculine. La is feminine. So it sounds like we're talking about the Talmud Shel Bein Arba'im, that they would do a separate pious. Says Gemara, Eim La. Change the word from Lo to La, and then it all fits. Says Gemara, no, Vatani, we have another Braisa. Third challenge. Kashem Shem Faisin Lo Shachris, Kach Mephaisen Lo Arvis, Kashem Shem Faisin Lo Shachris, Kach Mephaisen Lo Arvis. Says two separate statements, that just like we're Mephais for it in the masculine in the morning, so too in the evening, and just like we're Mephais for it feminine in the morning, so too in the evening. So you see that we're referring to both the Kataras and the Talmud, that there was a separate pious. So how can you say that there wasn't a separate pious for both of them, for the Talmud Shel Bein Arba'im? Some Rav Shlomo Rav Yitzchak, Kacha b'Shabbos haskinan, hol mishmaros mischadshos. On Shabbos, there was a new mishmar that came in for the Talmud Shel Bein Arba'im. So on Shabbos, we needed to do a pious for the Talmud Shel Bein Arba'im. That's what it's talking about when it says that there's a separate pious for the Talmud Shel Bein Arba'im, only on Shabbos. But on weekdays, whoever did the Talmud Shel Shachar would do the same things in the Talmud Shel Bein Arba'im. But according to our Hava Amina, that they did a separate pious, meaning the Gemara kept on challenging and saying, oh no, I think they did a separate pious for the Tamei Shel Bein Ramayim. Well, won't that add to the payasos? They're only supposed to be arba payasos. Now we're going to have an extra pious. So the Gemara, Maisi Kulu Mitzafra, also the Zach Beshachra, Zach, Zach, Bar, Bezachi. Maybe the Hava Amina was that we gather everyone together at one time to do the pious for both Tamei Shel Shachar and Tamei Shel Bein Ramayim, meaning you had to wake up early, even if you're only going to be involved in the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im, and you're involved in that that pious at the same time that they're doing the pious for the Tamei Shel Shachar. Harvi Chadashim Mishan. Then we said the fourth pious we mentioned in our Mishnah was for new people and old alike, and it determined who brought the limbs from the ramp all the way up to the Mizbeach, all the way up to the top of the Mizbeach. So Masisa Delek Rabbi Lazar Ben Yaakov, our Mishnah is against Rabbi Lazar Ben Yaakov. Ditnan, Rabbi Lazar Ben Yaakov Omer, Hamale Evarim Lakevesh, who mala osan the Mizbeach? Rabbi Lazar Ben Yaakov holds the same guy who brought it to the ramp in the first place, he brings it from the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach. That's the sheet of Rabbi Lazar Ben Yaakov. So you see that our Mishnah is against that. Our Mishnah holds it's not the same guy. There was a separate pious. The pious Arvi determined who brought the parts of the animal from the ramp up to the top of the Mizbeach. So b'maykamifli, what's the Nukudah Samachlokas between our Mishnah and Rabbi Lazar Ben Yaakov? Why would you say to have the same Kohanim do it? Why would you say to have different Kohanim do it? So Mar Savar Baravam Hadras Melech, the Rabbi Lazar Ben Yaakov says that you have, our Mishnah that says that you have different Kohanim do it, assumes Baravam Hadras Melech, that the more people you get involved, the better it is, the greater kavod it is to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we don't want the same Kohanim doing it, we want more people involved, that's a greater kavod. Umar Savar Makom Shechina Lav Arachara. And the other Shita is, that Rabbi Lazar Ben Yaakov's Shita is, that it's not Darachara, it's B'makom Shechina, to make it look like it's Trichel and Milsa, to make it look like it's too much of a burden to actually schlep up all the limbs from the carbon. So we don't want it to make it look like a burden, so we have the same guy finish off the job. Frak Tosos, wait a second. We do apply the concept of Bravam Hadras Melech in the Avoda, in the Beis HaMikdash, by having many, many people involved. We just learned in Maseches Pesachim not that long ago, in Perek Tam and Nishchan and Daf Samach Dalid, when it spoke about an Erev Pesach, how they would run the operation of bringing thousands and thousands of Korbanos Pesach, all in a span of a few hours. So they would they would say the Shachat Yisrael, V'kibel HaKohen, Kohen would do the Kabbalah Sadam, Nosan L'Chavero, V'Chavero L'Chavero, etc. And you'd pass it down the assembly line, and they'd pass till it got to the Kohen Eitzel Mizbeach, and he'd be Zarek for them, and then he'd pass back the empty Kli, and there were Kalim going back and forth with Dam being passed back and forth the whole time. The Gemara says, Kol Kach Lama, why do we do that? Berava Madras Melech. So it says, tells us, because over there it's not Shaykh to say Lava Rechara, because no one ever began to be Molech Beregel. No one actually began to walk with something. So if you begin to walk with something, then you quit. That's Lava Rechara. That's where they have a svar to say it's not Derech Eretz. But if you never began to walk with anything, you just had the blood and you're just passing it from hand to hand, there's no chisarn of Lava Rechara. So bottom line, what Tosfos is suggesting is that everyone agrees with the concept of Baravam Hadras Melech. The question is the Lava Rechara an overpowering concept? Is it something that beats out the consideration of Baravam Hadras Melech? There is a discussion. Rav Zilberstein has the shayla in Chashukei Chemer over here. If there's an argument about who should serve as kfater at a bris mila, so the mother's parents, the maternal grandparents, and paternal grandparents both want to be the kvater at a bris mila. So is there any way to solve the dispute? So he says, based on our Gemara, it seems we have this machlokas, whether Baravam Hadras Melech or Lav Arach Ara is which one wins. And the Rambam Paskins in the fourth parak of Hilchos Tamidim Musafin Halacha Hey, like the Tanakama, that the pious Revi is Mi Male Evar Min HaKevesh L'Mizbeach. So apparently we say Baravam Hadras Melech wins. So why not? Why not have everybody do kvater? Let one of the mothers give to the other mother and then give to her husband, who will give to the other husband, and everyone will be kfater, not rabba, but rabba majus melech. There's no chisaron in having multiple people serve as kfater. The question is, would you be makel in halacha based on that? I mean, the Mishnah Berurah paskens in Tavkuf Nun Aleph, Sifkat and Gimel, that a woman who's machnes a baby to be the kfater is noheges lilbosh bigdei Shabbos, even bebein hamitzarim, even in times of the year, in bein hamitzarim, where you're not supposed to wear bigdei Shabbos on a weekday. way a woman who serves as kvater can wear the big day Shabbos. So the shaila is, if you have multiple people serving as kvater, can they all wear big day Shabbos, or do you say that it's a heter just for one person? There's a halach in Shulchan Aruch Tavkuf Nantesiv Ches that on Tisha B'Av that's nidcha, a molel is allowed to break his fast after mincha. So the Stechemetz discusses, what if they break up the mila amongst several people? One guy is moel, the other one's porea, right? One does the mila, the other one does the priya. Do they all get to break their fast if you break it up amongst different people? So maybe that's whatever you say over there. Maybe the Stechemet thinks, yeah, that they all participate, so they're all the moel. So maybe over here also that they would all be considered in some level the kvater. There's also a fascinating discussion in Poskim. A lot of times you have in a shul where there are two chiyuvim to daven. So what they'll want to do is they'll make two minyanim, they'll make a separate minyan so that both chiyuvim will be able to be the shliach tzibur. So there's a is that an appropriate thing to do? So there's a tshuva in the Tzvi Tif Eres, Simen Nun Gimel, Rav Zilberstein quotes, where the shaila was about a fellow who was living in a city where there was a very large shul, but the people who daven there were not b'nei Torah at all. They were anashim pshutim, reikim, ovrei das. They were people who violated halacha all the time. And then there was a smaller shul that had b'nei Torah there, but it was a smaller shul. So what's better, to daven amongst the Talmidei Chachamim in the smaller shul, or to daven in the bigger shul, Baravam Hadras Melech? So he said, definitely the smaller shul is the better one to go with in that situation. And he says, Brava Majus Melch, you only need three people, you already fulfill Brava Majus Melch. Gemara Menachos Daf Samach Beis says that three people is already fulfillment of Brava Majus Melch. The Gimel, three Kohanim are involved in the Tenufa, and anything beyond that is a Chumrah beyond three people. So he says, and based on that, you can answer the Kash of the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram says that when you have a shul there where there's Bravam, still better to daven a base medrash so that you're not Mevat you're learning for the sake of tefillah. So the Magen Avraham says, but wait a second, the Shulchan Aruch also tells us in Reish Sadiches that if you're sitting in the Beis Medrash and they bring an Or for Avdallah, one guy should make a bracha for everybody and everyone should stop their learning and listen because Bravam Hadras Melech. I thought you're not supposed to stop your learning. I thought you're not supposed to be Mevatel your learning for Bravam Hadras Melech. So he says the Tzvi Teferis. No, by the case of the candle, you didn't have Bravam yet. It was one person, to do one person at a time, you're not going to be Mekayim Bravam at all. But in the case of the davening, you're either going to daven with a small minion in the Beis Medrash or a large minion in shul, you already have Baravam in the Beis Medrash because you have three people, and three people is the whole kunz. You don't need more than three people in order to be Mekayim Baravam. So in the Tshuvas HaParkasta Da'anya, he vehemently disagrees. He says, it's often a raya from our Gemara. That's not true. That even beyond three people, however many more you add, is a kiyum of Baravam Hadras Melech. Because what's the context in our Gemara? We already have 12 people bringing 13 people doing the avoda of the carbon tamid. So why would I say to double that number by having a whole new group of people do the tamid shel b'rabbayim? Bravo, Majus Melech. But you already have more than three. What do you need, Bravo, Majus Melech? Elamai, you see that however many more you could add, it's always a fulfillment of Bravo, Majus Melech. So according to that, if in this situation where you have multiple chiyuvim lechora, better not to separate into two binyanim. Bravo, Majus Melech. Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Kuf Nun Sif Katan Beis in Beis Haknesses Shabir Machilas Kulam Az Asurim Lihiparet. If everyone fits in the shul, so then you're not supposed to divide up into separate minyanim. Shar Tzion says Bravam Hadras Melech is the operative principle over there. That works better as a tefillah when it's offered up, a ravam, when it's offered up by the masses. Okay, says the Gemara further now. So that was the issue, whether it's Bravam or Lav Arachara. Amar Rava, Lo Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Islay Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Rabbi Yehuda Islay Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Dim Kein Batsulu Payasos. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who said that the guys who brought the Avarim to the Kevesh were the same ones who brought it up on the Mizbeach, must disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, who says that they did not do a pious for the Machta, for the guy holding the shovel of coals, because you need to have the right number of payasos. So each opinion rejects the other one so that you can end up with exactly four payasos. I mean, if you hold that there is no pious for the Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, then there must have been a pious for the Machta. If you hold there is no pious for the Machta, then there must must have been a separate pious for the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im, and that's how we get to the number four. V'mishkachas Tana T'Tani Chamesh, and if you were to ever find the Tana out there that holds that there are five payasos, who delok Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and delok Rabbi Yehuda, then you should know that Tana is easily explained as being against both Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why he holds that there are five payasos, because he holds that there is one for the Machta and also one for being for the Tamei Shel Bein Arba'im. Good. New Mishnah. Tamid Karav B'tisha Ba'asara Ba'achadasar B'shneimasar Lo Pachlas V'lo Yoser. The carbon tamid is brought with anywhere between 9 and 12 people, no more and no less than 9 or 12 people. So right away it should strike us as odd, because the Mishnah Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph went through how many people were involved in bringing the tamid, and it seemed that the minimum was way more than 9. The minimum was 13 people. So how can you say that it's never... So we're not counting the first four. Rashi points out, Tamid Karav Mishas Holachas Evarim Ve'elach Kachash. We're only counting from the Holachas Evarim. Remember, the first few were Mishochet, Mizorek, Mimedashi Mizbeach Hapnimi, Mimedashi Nesa Menorah. Those we're not counting. Of course, you always have those four also, but we're starting with Mimale Evarim Lakevesh. That was the Anchafei Amidal. So that's what we mean when we say nine people. A minimum of nine, not counting the original four, so it's really a minimum of 13, but let's work with the numbers that our Mishnah works with. So it's somewhere between 9 and 12 once you get past the first four people. Ketzad, Atzmo Betes. So the basic Karban is 9 people as we enumerated in that Mishnah. Bechag, Biad Echad, Slocha Shalmayim, Arei Kanasara. On Sukkis, someone had to carry a pitcher of water, and that's how we got to 10. Bein Arbayim, Bachadasar. In the evening, you needed at least 11 people, because Hu Atzmo Betesha, the Karban itself was with 9. Vishnayim, Biadam Shnei, and then you had two people carrying two blocks of wood, so that's two extra people, that makes 11. B'Shabbos B'Chadasar, every Shabbos you needed 11 people, because Hu Atzmo B'Tisha, the carbon itself, was brought up by 9 people. B'Shnayim B'Yadam Shnei B'Zichei Levona Shalechem Apanim. And then you needed another two people to carry the spoons, the shovels of Levona, to use for the Lechem Apanim by the Shulchan. U'B'Shabbos Shebetoch HaChag, and if it's Shabbos and Sukkis, B'Yadach Atzoch HaShalmayim, so then you had, in addition to the two people holding the Lavona, you also had the one guy holding the water for the Nisach HaMayim, and that's how you have 12. So when do you ever have 12? When it's Shabbos B'toch HaChag, when it's Shabbos and Sukkis, that's when you have 12. So the Gemara is going to right away deal with, well, wait a second, what if it's Shabbos and it's Sukkis and it's Bein Arbayim? By Bein Arbayim you have Shnei Gezirei Eitzim. So no, by Bein Arbayim there's no Bezicha Lavona, and there's no, by Bein Arbayim there's also no Nisach HaMayim. So the maximum we're ever going to have is 12. Am Rabbi Abba Vitaim Rami Barcham Vitaim Rabbi Yochanan Ein Menaschin Mayim B'Chag Ela B'Tamishol Shachar. Nisach HaMayim must only be done in the morning on Sukkis, not by the Tamishol Ben Rabbayim. Mi Mai, how do I know this? Mi Diktanu B'Shabbos Shabbatoch HaChag B'Ar Echad Tzlocha Shalmayim. That on Shabbos Shabbatoch HaChag we said, so someone has a Tzlocha Shalmayim, and that's how we get to the maximum of 12. But if you hold that there's Nisach HaMayim done in the afternoon also, then you could have 12 on a weekday also, because every single weekday in Bein Arbayim you had 11 people, because you had the two people carrying the Shnei Gezirei Eitzim, and then you should have one more guy for the Nisach HaMayim. So even a weekday, even a non-Shabbos day that during Sukkot would be 12. But Elamai, it's not, because there is no Nisach HaMayim in the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, only by the Tamid Shel Shachar. Amar Ravashi Afan Anami Tanir. Ravashi says it's partial that this is true, that there is no Nisach HaMayim in the afternoon. How do I know? L'menaseich Amar Lo Hagbe Yadecha, that they tell the person who's being menaseich the Mayim that he has to lift up his hands. Shepam Echad Nosach Al Gabe Raglov, because one time there was a Tzduki who was doing the Nisach HaMayim, and he poured it directly on his feet instead of pouring it down the pipe in the Mizbeach on the top. He poured it on his feet because he was a stuki, and the stukim are not moda b'nisach hamayim. They reject nisach hamayim. Urgamu kol ha'am be'esrogehen. And everyone stoned him with their esrogim. Says Rashi, be'esrogehen, lamali l'misni be'esrogehen. Who cares what they stoned him with? The point is that they stoned him, that they attacked him. So im lo v'alamdenu, she'nisach hamayim, enu ela b'shas netilas l'lav. So it must be that the reason we give this detail, that they used their esrogim to attack him, is to teach me that that it was b'shas netilas lulav, that it was during the time of day where we take lulav, which is the morning time. So you see that the nisach hamayim is only in the morning. That's the raya. So shema mina, you see from there that it's a raya. Frek the ritva, maybe it's a different chiddush that it's telling me. Maybe the chiddush of telling me the esrogim is that it's not a problem of kavod to the mitzvah of the esrog, of the bizayin to the mitzvah of the esrog, by using the esrog to stone the guy. Maybe that's the chiddush that they would use the esrog. Says the ritva, that's not a chiddush, that's pashut. Because once he realizes it's stuki, it's kvodo shel esrog to be mekadesh Hashem by hitting him with the esrog. So the Rav Zilberstein has a discussion if they caught a gun of stealing from the tzedakah box on Shabbos, and they didn't have anything to tie him up with till the police got there, so they tied him up with tzitzis. So they wanted to know if that's a bizayin to the tzitzis. He says, no, the zeu kvodo, just like a rugamu. Could be it's stuki is different. If you catch it stuki, it's different than catch in the Beis Hamikdash. Maybe that's different than catching a ganav. They say in the Hakdama to the Lev Eliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Lapian, they say he was a very gentle soul. So when he would wake Bachram up for davening, so he wouldn't go around banging and yelling and the baseball bat or whatever. He would take his tzitzis and put it in their ear, like to tickle their ear, and that's how we would wake them up in the morning for shachris. So apparently, Rav Eliyahu Lapian held that you're allowed to use tzitzis. That zeu kvodo, that's the covenant of the tzitzis that they would use. Rav Zilberstein quotes a maisa of a chazan that was an apikoros that started to be mashmiya divrei chutzpa b'tfila, started to veer from the text in the tefila and started saying terrible things. So a guy kind of came over with a sitter and conked him in the head and knocked him out. So they wanted to know, so is that an inappropriate use of the sitter? So maybe zeu kvodo, that's the covenant of the sitter to do the kiddushim shemayim. Okay, Tanya Rav. How do I know that the Tamish Shalbein Arbaim requires Shnegzir, two blocks of wood, with for two Kohanim to each hold one of the blocks of wood? Shnemar va'archu etzim. Imenu in the Tamish Shal Shachar, dechziv, ubir ala koin etzim, baboker, baboker, va'arach aleha. So if it's not about the Tamish Shal Shachar, where it describes the placing of the wood in the singular by one Kohen, so tenei in the Tamish Shalbein Arbaim must be about the Tamish Shalbein Arbaim that you have two Kohanim with the Shnegzir etzim. But maybe it's all about the Tamar Shel Shachar. And first you have one Kohen bring one piece of wood, and then you have two Kohanim bring two more pieces of wood. Maybe all of that is about the Tamar Shel Shachar. So it says, Mari Im Kain, Neimar Kra, Uvir Uvir. So then it should say it twice in the singular. Ikos v'rachmano uvir hava mina chad in trei lo. So kamash melon denavid chad v'navid trei. No, couldn't have said uvir uvir, because then we would have thought that it's one plus another one, but we need one plus another two. So maybe we're back to our question. Maybe it's all about the tamid shel shachar. So imke neimakra uvir uviru inami va'arach v'archu. So it should say once in the singular, once in the plural. My uvir va'archu. Why is it? Why does it change the verb? It changes the actual language that it uses. So Shema Minah Kedekam Rina, and it must be because one is for the Tamid Shel Shachar and one is for the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. So we use a different verb to show that we're talking about two different karbanos. Tanya Rebbe Chia, Pies Pa'amim Yugimel Pa'am Yudal Pa'am Tazvav Pa'am Tazayin. That when in terms of how many people are involved at the end of the day in the Karban Tamid, it really turns out to be between 13 and 16 people. Because remember, when our Mishnah said between 9 and 12, it didn't count the first four. So once you count the first four, so it really turns out between 13 and 16 people. Frekli Gemara Vatanya Yud Zayin, but don't we assume that there are 17 people? We have a brice that says that there are 17 people. Where does the 17th guy come from? Say he the Lok Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Elok Rav Yehuda. That's if you assume not like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. He holds that there was another Kohen who was Malei Evarim from the Kevesh to the Mizbeach. And that's the Yud Zayin. Not like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, rather like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that there was no pious for the Machta, and therefore it wouldn't be like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds that there's no additional pious to determine who's going to bring anything from the Kevesh up to the top of the Mizbeach. So that's how you'd end up with the number 17, the 17th person to do that job. Let's try to get the Mishnah in. So it says the Mishnah, Ayil Karv Be'echad 11 people bring the ayil, because an ayil is slightly larger, so it would be with a minimum of 11 people. Abasar b'chamisha, 5 people to carry the basar. Hakirbayim v'asolos v'ayayin b'shnayim shnayim, 2 each for the kirbayim, the solos, and the ayin. Par karav ve'asr marba. Par, a bull, is brought with 24 people. It's even bigger. Harosh va'regel, harosh ve'echad va'regel v'shnayim. One guy for the head, two for a regel. Ha'ukatz va'regel, ha'ukatz v'shnayim. Two for the ukatz va'regel v'shnayim and two for the other regel. Ha'chaza va'gera, ha'chaza be'echad va'gera v'shlosha. One guy with the chaza, three with the gera. Shtei yadayim v'shnayim. And the two forelegs with two people. Shtei defanos v'shnayim, the two sides of the animal. Two people are kirbayim, ha'solos va'yayin. They kirbayim, the solos and the yayin. With three people each. When do we have all this division of labor? That's only when it's a carbon sibur. But if it's a carbon yachid, anyone who's interested, who wants to be makriv, is allowed to be makriv all by himself. The carbon yachid. But the skinning and the cutting up of the pieces of both a carbon sibur and a carbon yachid are the same as each other. There's no difference in terms of that. Just in terms of the number of people bringing the various limbs to the mizbeach, that varies from a carbon sibur to a carbon yachid.